Okay, one visual for you before Pastor Barry comes up and does the offering. Good evening. Yeah, praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, God bless you. Good to see you tonight. May Jesus bless you, love you. Ah, the Spirit of God is here, huh? The Spirit of God. Wow. Spirit of God, fall fresh on me, huh? Isn't that good? On us, praise God. One thought that's been with me through the day is this picture, very simply, of an umbrella, okay, with a bunch of people under the umbrella. Okay, is that up there? Okay. That's like us. The umbrella is the covering. The covering, which means a lot. God has baptized us under the headship of his Son. We hold the head tightly or relate to the headship of Christ. The Spirit does it. The Spirit teaches us, leads us. Spirit does it. The Holy Spirit does it. I'm shocked at how godly we can be. Turn to your neighbor and just say that to them. I'm shocked how godly you are. I'm amazed how godly you are. Wow. Hey, I, that's fun. The furthest part of the world, they say 90% of the world is what is called oratory culture. Oratory meaning speaking. They are not reading books. I'm not saying 90% of the world does not read books, but I'm saying their culture is one of relational. We hear that from Pastor Shabelli in Africa. People are relational, and they talk. And then I'll give you the detail later when I'm preaching. Right now, I'm just talking to you. We are literary people. We read, we have books, we have libraries, and a lot of mission work is done this way. But the greatest thing needed in the world is not the internet going to the third world, though that's a tool, but human beings with real feet and real language, and real missions, with the Holy Spirit on the laborer to go into the mountains and deserts and big cities in the third world. I'm amazed that God does this. But the umbrella does this, not the umbrella, the Lord, by his covering, leads us in mission and in faith. This is a very big thing, and I was thinking of great big things that are kind of impossible. There's two of them in Luke 14. I have two pictures for the AV department to put up on the screen. I believe you have them. Okay, here is one of them. Jesus said, how can you sit down and build a big building and get it done unless you count the cost? How could you ever do this unless you counted the cost? That's like Empire State Building in Manhattan, okay? Big project. Count the cost. I don't know how to count the cost. The umbrella God leads us, and the Spirit of God leads us, and we say, how could I ever do this? How could I ever be part of this? How could I ever think this way except the Holy Spirit leading us in a local assembly by the teaching of the Scripture? Wow, that is so awesome. And tonight we're going to speak about that. That's going to be our subject. The second illustration Jesus gave was an army of 10,000 going against an army of 20,000. That's our second slide here, because I was wondering what 20,000 people would look like. There's a stadium with 20,000 people. How could my army go against this army unless I count the cost? Both of these are big projects that are beyond the average person. We are doing something that is beyond the average person. We are going to the mountains of the Himalayas, the deserts of China and Chile. I mean, this is awesome because people are lost. Meaning, we said last Wednesday night, common grace. Remember, common grace, and the world is filled with grace. And people live in grace and bathe in grace. They go into stores. They drive their cars down 95, all by the grace of God. They eat every day, take showers, vitamins, cosmetics, hairdos, new shoes, children, dogs, second homes, recreation, vacations. It's all common grace, meaning that God has given a sinful world blessings, and He's speaking to them and saying, I am a good God. I am a living God, and I care about you. And I gave my Son. I gave my Son so you could have eternal life, not go to hell. I gave my Son so I could take your sin away. I gave my Son so you could be anointed. I gave my Son so that you would have prayer. I gave my Son so you would love each other. I gave my Son so that you could love, you know, one little boy said, you know, I love my stuffed dog, but I hate my sister. And the dad said, you got to learn to love your sister. I don't want to. Those are the messages that we need to hear under the umbrella of God. That you love your stuffed dog, but it means also if you can't love your sister, you're not really loving your stuffed dog. If there's somebody I hate, then there's really nobody that I really love. Huh? Whoa. And this is just the introduction. No, wait a minute. Okay, I'm ahead of myself, but that's it. Okay, so we're going to have a good time tonight. Amen. God bless you. Turn to your neighbor, talk to them, try to explain to them what I just said. Do the best you can. You got a couple minutes. Okay, have you ever been stuck? Have you ever been stuck? What do you think? Unstuck? Stuck? Have you been stuck? Yeah, let's see, what does that mean, right? Stuck, I went back to my high school. We had a our football team, 1968-69, was an amazing football team. We had a four-year undefeated season, 4 years. When I got on the team, we lost, or we broke the streak, okay? But we had a reunion, the old football guys. And I actually brought my mother to it. This was some years ago. I went up to Rome, New York, and hanging out with guys, we some of us knew one another. Anyway, have you ever gone back to reunion and kind of felt that some of the people that you were with are kind of stuck in the past? Maybe stuck in their life. They're stuck in their ways, mentality, stuck in their identity. We are like this. We get stuck as Christians. We are stuck. Have you ever met somebody who maybe went through some period in their Christian life, maybe years ago? Not necessarily this church. It could be, but some church years ago, and they just have a little bit of a nasty attitude. Maybe nasty attitude about what happened. And you just can't help but think, are they stuck? Who is Jesus? Turn with me to Joshua, please, chapter 3. Great to be with you tonight. Thanks for your love, your prayers. I need it a lot. Pray for the Easter play coming up, Eurocon in Poland. Those that are here, God bless you. We're all on the same team and drinking of the same spirit. The people at home are staying by the stuff, and they get rewards just as the others in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I said 30, didn't I? I said it a few times. Think convention is coming up in June, just around the corner. Spring is coming. I love the changes in the seasons, especially when we get around to this part of the year. I love it. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Ha ha ha. It sounds good, doesn't it? When you see the Ark, when it moves, go after it. Change your clothes. This is in here. Change your clothes, follow the priests who are carrying the ark. I once calculated the distance was something like between a quarter and a half a mile, just so you can see it off in the distance. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and about 2,000 cubits, it's about 3,000 feet, so that is about a half a mile. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For this is the verse. Can you say it with me? For you have not passed this way in time past. So I think we get the English version, the ESV there. We can use it. For all of you have not passed this way in time past. For you have not passed this way heretofore. You are going to be unstuck. You have been stuck in the wilderness eating the manna, but now you're going to be unstuck, and you've never been this way before. Some people go round and round, like in our iPad drawing with the umbrella. There are some believers that are going round and round like this because they don't have the umbrella. Okay, let's do that again. Here we go. Round and round. Bird's eye view. Round and round. They are stuck. I've been stuck many times in my life. I'm sure you have. Things I can't shake off. Things that bug me. I was thinking about how great it is that my wife loves me. I know it's hard to believe. You know how when you marry somebody, you love to sing about them. The thing, you know, in my case, maybe she thought she could take care of me, cook for me, clean the house, because she knew how disorganized I was. What a sloppy person. Look at my car when I was single. All the stuff on the dashboard, the dirt on the dashboard, the tickets on the dashboard, the broken Bibles, torn pages out of the Bible, old tracks on the dashboard, the broken parking brake, everything about the car is like a disaster. My wife married me. She married me. And the thing that maybe she felt that she fell in love with now becomes 43 years later. Could you hang up your own towel? We get stuck. Maybe we are stuck in a critical attitude where we're kind of critical about everything. We don't even realize it. It kind of grows. Like, I love my stuffed dog, you know, this little kid, 8 years old, but I don't like my 10-year-old sister. And Dad says, you know, if you love your stuffed dog, you got to learn also to love your sister. And by the way, you got to love your mother. Oh, I love my mother. Well, then, can you love your sister? In a family, there's an umbrella. In a family, there is Dad and Mom. We hope so. Though imperfect, God uses the wisdom of the people that come here and receive and listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we are able to say, yes, Lord, I've wandered in this wilderness long enough. Please lead me to a place you have not passed this way before. You mean I've been walking 40 years and I have never gone this way before? No, you haven't been this way before. Is it new? Yes, thank you. Have I been this way before? No, you have never been this way before. This happened under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit in the assembly. And may I add, it happens in your closet and Bible study when you just plain straight up open the Bible and start to read it. I'm telling you, there are believers that are not opening the Bible and just reading 10 pages every morning and just reading it through. Just keep reading it. I don't understand it. Just keep reading it. And pray to God in heaven. And the God of heaven will lead you to a place you haven't gone before. And he'll minister to you and restore your soul and renew your mind. And my wife being able to say, you know, I love my husband 43 years ago, and I still love him now. Whoa. What can I say about that? That I would like also that kind of maturity where we could say, you know, it must be under this umbrella because we have a, what did we see in the pictures? A big building to build. A big building, and to count the cost and to say to keep my marriage together is a huge thing. But God can do that. He can teach me, show me, help me with my children, which sometimes is almost just, I give up. There are a lot of people that give up. They abandon their family, abandon their children. They cannot take it. Yes, they can. They can do it. They just don't have that umbrella. They don't have that love They don't have that Holy Spirit ministry that's promised to us. Yes, they can. Yes, we can do all things through Christ. Yes, we can. We haven't been this way before. If it's in my own little world, I say, you know what? I'm not taking it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. I cannot handle it. It's the same old, same old. You are stuck. We are stuck in our self life. I wrote down a couple things that happens to us this afternoon, just thinking about this. Okay. I feel and I think I am somebody when actually I need to be checked. When I get offended, and getting offended is the most common, it's the part of our culture today, you know. I got offended. The posting on the social media, I got offended. The newspaper article, I got offended. The politician, I got offended. The kid at school, I got offended. It's like a huge thing that makes me feel we're all going to get stuck in being offended. But look it. Our whole faith is about a man who was offended to the maximum and said, forgive them. It's okay. I came for this reason. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's okay. I love them. He is not stuck. Jesus is in a place we have not gone that way before. We have found a way of thinking where, go ahead, you can do whatever. It's okay, because I have found some kind of maturity that is happening. And I must say, it grows in sometimes slow increments, but it's happening to you. I believe that with all my heart. I love this church because I realize this church is totally about people that are loving God, knowing God, believing in God, trusting in God, and they got some skin in the game. They're paying a price. They're counting a cost. They're believing and they're saying, here I am, guide me so that I will be in a place I haven't been before, and in application, it means that I'm not easily offended. It's okay. Do whatever you got to do. It's okay. I'm going to love you and pray for you. But I got business to do with God. I got something going on with God. There are dear people that have never heard about Jesus Christ. And this mission we are on is to bring us before people that have not heard about Jesus Christ and his shed blood and his incarnation and his resurrection and the value of this book. We are on a mission, and we haven't been. We are following the Ark of the Covenant half a mile away. But you can see a half a mile in front of you. And there it is. And we're going to follow. And he's going to lead us. Okay? That's the message. I had another text I wanted to use. We can do it. Turn to Revelation chapter 2, please. And this is just a very quick, I'm not rushing. I'm just enjoying so much this thought. Turn to your neighbor and say, get unstuck. Turn to your neighbor and just say, get unstuck. Get unstuck. Thus saith the Lord. We, a whole bunch of us guys were in the sauna at my house the other night, about midnight, actually. There were 14 of us packed in there. And in this verse, I'm sitting there while sweating and enjoying the heat. It was a fun time. And this verse just came to me. It said, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter." And then as I start to say that, all the guys in the sauna start to say it. And it is, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you. Our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace, but if he does not, and they all go like this, you know, and but if he does not, we will not bow down and worship your idol. Wow, that was like that verse, just like, it was so good. I want that in my life. I know I'm a coward. I can't do this. I am unable. I am too weak. I will collapse under the pressure. I am not a strong person. I'm not a mighty hero. I'm not a great Iron Man. I am not able to do this. And this is what the umbrella is about. It's like you don't get there by your personality or your temperament or by lifting weights or telling yourself every night, "I will not deny him. I will not deny him." That is not how, that is not our, that is not the, you may do it and go ahead. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. There's the umbrella. Don't lean on your own understanding. It must come from some other place. That is why God has ordained pastor teachers. That is why God has ordained for the teaching and preaching of the book. That is why God is saying to you, read your Bible quietly, confidently. The Holy Spirit will lead you in a way you have not gone before. And you get up above and beyond the clutter and the chatter and the unforgiving spirit and the sensitive, touchy, "You offended me. What did she say? And who did she tell that to? And I got to correct that. And that's not right. And that's not just. And I can't believe he said that. And how much money was that? And I can't believe that that happened." And all that little small talk that happens amongst all people in the world. And they get stuck on the silliest thing. You know, my wife is so clean and neat in the house, and she's sitting over here, and she doesn't like it when I talk about it. And I'll hear about it tonight when I get home. Okay, I'm joking. I'm joking. Okay, so, you know, throwing the towel, you know, I take a shower, took the towel, and I just hang it up on the door. And I think the ladies know this. Hanging up on towels. Pastor Fred Arruda has no idea what we're talking about. So hanging up the towel on the door. And, don't do that. Don't do that. So in our 38th year of marriage, I decided to change my way. Yeah, and I want credit for that. I'm saying, I've never been this way before. Okay, finishing. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus," this is the pastor, the umbrella up on the screen, "these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand," that's Christ holding the church, "who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. It's too good of a verse to cut short, so I'm going to close the service and just say that this portion, chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 6, shows you how he corrected the church. He corrected the church at Ephesus. The Spirit corrected the church at Ephesus with words. We need exhortation. We need to be rebuked. We need inspiration. We need comfort. We need love. We need insight and understanding. I need to get beyond my immaturity. I need to live an unstuck life. I want to grow in His grace. I want to learn not just to worship God in this assembly hall, but I want to worship God in my bedroom. I want to worship and follow God not just like when I'm in the presence of people, but I want to have it in my heart as a way of life. I want to get excited about this book. I want to have my Bible school days return back to me. Let me share that. I was in Bible school and it was like fresh. Woo! That was amazing. I love the pastor. I love the Bible. I love the prayer meeting. I love the vision. Though frail and stubbornly stuck at times, but I could take the rebuke. I could take the correction. I would submit myself to God. I would receive it as from God. I would take what God wanted to say to me as the umbrella and say, "You have left your first love." And I would be sitting there saying, "Yes, Lord, if I have left my first love, teach me what that is all over again. I want to learn about it. I want to not depart from love. I want to learn about love. I want to learn about grace. I want to learn about faith. I want to rediscover." And don't you believe that the Holy Spirit and all of our prayers and all of these men of God that have followed God in faith and all of these women of God that have followed God by faith are saying to us in our hearts, "Yeah, we can do it. We can do it." Would you put back up there those two pictures again? It was just this a big building that, yes, we can do it. We can do it. Then the other one, can we go out against a big army of 20? Yeah, we have counted the cost and said, "I will be stuck in Rome, New York, with my old football buddies telling the same old crummy, lousy, meaningless stories. And I will not grow an inch, and I will not get out of my old life because of my flesh. But I say that I have found a place where I can come under the umbrella of God, and He will say, 'Follow the ark. You have not been this way before. And change your clothes and clean up yourself and follow the ark, and I will take you into the promised land. You will not eat the manna anymore. No more manna, no more small talk, no more little things, no more small provision, but you will eat the corn of the land. You will eat the resurrection power. You have conferences and God will be in them. You have prayer meetings and Jesus will visit you. You'll turn into the Bible and say, 'I got a piece of food to eat that you don't know about. I got a victory in my spirit over drugs, over other stuff. I got a victory in my heart over being a liar and a deceiver. I'm not stuck in my old ways. I have found Christ as the way, the truth, and the life.' But if I forsake the local assembly, what will I have? A Bible study, maybe. If I forsake the local assembly, what will I have? Maybe I'll read my Bible at different times or listen on the radio. But if I leave the local assembly, I won't have real human beings that are going to challenge me. Just like the little boy said, "I love my puppy, my stuffed dog, but it's my sister in the morning who looks at me and says, 'You cannot have any Cheerios.'" and I don't like her. My stuffed dog will never treat me like that. That's the way people are immature. I need my sister. I need my brother. I need my challenge. I need reality. I need God to put me in a real world to show me that, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, I am not careful to answer you. You can put us in the fiery furnace and our God will deliver. But if he does not, we will not worship your small little idol. Because it's just crap anyway. Amen. Hey, praise God. You're almost dismissed. Wait a minute. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Yes, praise the Lord. Okay. There's somebody listening and you want Jesus in your life. There is no God like Jesus Christ. There is no God. There's no answer for life except Jesus Christ. There's no freedom except Jesus Christ. There's no answer to life except Jesus Christ. And you are being spoken to tonight by Jesus Christ, by the Bible, saying to as many as received me, to them God has given the gift, has made them children of God, to as many as received him. You've gotten the legal power to become a child of God. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Please say that in your heart. Jesus, I believe in you. Anyone making the decision tonight, we pray for this part of the service. This is a beautiful, amazing miracle of God, that people would become believers and walk in Christ. Please make that decision tonight. Decide and follow. Trust in him. You're born again tonight by his grace. For your sake, if you're saying that prayer, would you raise your hand? For your sake, the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? In Jesus' name, anyone? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.